Dinner was the last of their dried rations, some wine from Silenus's last bottle, and some stale cake which Saul Weintraub had brought along to celebrate their last evening together. Rachel was too little to eat the cake, but she took her milk and went to sleep on her stomach, on a mat near her father. Lennar Hoyt removed a small balalaika from his pack and strummed a few chords.
"I didn't know you played."
"Poorly." The consul rubbed his eyes.
"I wish we had a piano."
"You do have one."
The consul looked at the poet.
"Bring it here. I'd welcome a scotch."
"What are you talking about?" snapped Father Hoyt. "Makes sense."
"His ship. Do you remember our dear, departed, voice of the bush, Mastine, telling our consul friend that his secret weapon was that nice hegemony single ship sitting back at Keats spaceport? Call it up, your consulship. Bring it on in."
Kassad moved away from the stairway where he had been placing trip beams.
"The planet's datasphere is dead. The commsats are down. The orbiting force ships are on tight beam. How is he supposed to call it?"
It was Lamia who spoke.
"A fatline transmitter."
The consul moved his stare to her.
"Fatline transmitters are the size of buildings."
Braun Lamia shrugged.
"What Mastine said made sense. If I were the consul, if I were one of the few thousand individuals in the entire damn web to own a single ship, I'd be damn sure I could fly it in on remote if I needed it. The planet's too primitive to depend on its comnet, the ionosphere's too weak for shortwave, the commsats are the first things to go in a skirmish. I'd call it by fatline."
"And the size?"
Braun Lamia returned the diplomat's level gaze.
"The hegemony can't yet build portable fatline transmitters. There are rumors that the ousters can."
The consul smiled. From somewhere there came a scrape and then the sound of metal crashing.
"Stay here," said Kassad.
He removed a death wand from his tunic, canceled the trip beams with his tactical comm log, and descended from sight.
"I guess we're under martial law now,"
said Silenus when the colonel was gone.
"Mars Ascendant."
"Shut up."
"Do you think it's the Shrike?" The consul made a gesture.
"The Shrike doesn't have to clank around downstairs. It can simply appear here."
Hoyt shook his head. "I mean the Shrike that has been the cause of everyone's absence. The signs of slaughter here in the keep."
"The empty villages might be the result of the evacuation order,"
said the consul.
"No one wants to stay behind to face the ousters. The SDF forces have been running wild. Much of the carnage could be their doing."
"With no bodies?"
laughed Martin Silenus.
"Wishful thinking. Our absent hosts downstairs dangle now on the Shrike's steel tree, where, ere long, we too will be."
"Shut up,"
Braun Lamia said tiredly.
"And if I don't?"
grinned the poet.
"Will you shoot me, madam?"
"Yes."
The silence lasted until Colonel Kassad returned. He reactivated the trip beams and turned to the group seated on packing crates and flow foam cubes.
"It was nothing. Some carrion birds, harbingers, I think the locals call them, had come in through the broken glass doors in the dining hall and were finishing the feast."
Silenus chuckled.
"Harbingers. Very appropriate."
Kassad sighed, sat on a blanket with his back to a crate, and poked at his cold food. A single lantern brought from the wind wagon lighted the room, and the shadows were beginning to mount the walls in the corners, away from the door to the balcony.
"It's our last night. One more story to tell."
He looked at the consul. The consul had been twisting his slip of paper with the number 7 scrawled on it. He licked his lips.
"What's the purpose? The purpose of the pilgrimage has been destroyed already."
The other stirred. "What do you mean?" asked Father Hoyt. The consul crumpled the paper and threw it into a corner.
For the Shrike to grant a request, the band of pilgrims must constitute a prime number. We had 7. Mastine's disappearance reduces us to 6. We go to our deaths now, with no hope of a wish being granted.
Superstition,
said Lamia. The consul sighed and rubbed his brow.
Yes, but that is our final hope.
Father Hoyt gestured toward the sleeping infant. Can't Rachel be our 7th? Saul Weintraub rubbed his beard.
No. A pilgrim must come to the tombs of his or her own free will.
But she did once, said Hoyt. Maybe it qualifies.
No,
said the consul.